Good afternoon and welcome to Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International. Of course, brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia. All the bank that you need. Go check them out today for whatever financial needs that you may need. Of course, it's Youth Unplugged and my guest this afternoon is Nyron Edward. I gotta say good afternoon to you and thank you so much for agreeing to do this. Let's start from the first. That is such a unique name. What's the origin and what's the story behind that?
Well, actually, my name is of a Welsh origin. I did some research on it because it is very unique and it puzzled me for a while as well. And what it means that I'm honorable and also golden.
Interesting.
So I like the meaning of that, yeah.
And does that necessarily reflect on your personality?
It really does.
Well, let's take it. Go ahead, sir.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but I believe I have been told that by persons that I've come into contact with, so it's not just me saying it. It's because it's been reinforced by people that I associate myself with.
Humble much, but that's good, yeah. Because you know that sometimes people name people and don't realize that you know you could kind of set their life based on the name that you're given. But again, that is a whole other conversation and not necessarily what we're here to talk about. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. Of course, you're a past student of St. Mary's College, and anytime we get to interview Sumerians, fellow Sumerians, the first thing I always ask is, which house?
Rodney House, the best house.
Oh, Jesus, Lord. Oh, my goodness. I'm just going to leave that right there and just continue. Let's talk about when you were growing up. What was that like for you and probably how it came to influence your life?
Okay, well, growing up, I was not born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I have had to work for everything that I have today, both myself, my siblings, my parents. We come from a family of hard workers. During school, where I got myself through school, that's at the St. Mary's. I've been known as the pizza boy because every day I would have to sell pizza to get my lunch money. And to basically get through school, sometimes purchase my school stuff, my school books, assist my parents, and stuff like that. So in terms of growing up, that's where I came from. I guess that's where the work ethic in me began.
And did that make your schooling difficult? Because, you know, for example, going to St. Mary's College, you find that predominantly the students in that area or that institution come from, you know, for lack of a better word, well-to-do families. Did that in any way affect how you dealt with people? Did it make you feel lesser of a person? How was that for you?
Actually, it was something I enjoyed because it allowed me to socialize with everyone around the school.
Okay.
Yeah. So in a sense, I became notorious, but not for anything, doing anything bad. I was for doing something good.
That's pretty amazing. So,
yeah.
And did you ever thought to yourself, well, you know, this pizza thing has carried me through school, probably that you would have continued to do that?
I did think that, but at the end of the day, and I guess that's the reason why I'm here now. Every time I try in the past to do something other than art, I always found myself back there.
That's pretty interesting.
So that's, yeah.
And I'm glad that you brought up the whole art thing, which allows us to go right in. Of course, you won an award recently for the Visual Artist of the Year. I mean, what sparked that interest in visual art?
Well, it began at a young age. My cousin, Kevin Edward, I was 8 at the time, and he was 18 years old. And he would normally do drawings of, back then, of Dragon Ball Z characters.
Yes.
Everybody knows Dragon Ball
yes,
Z.
Yes, yes. That's now, actually, you know, at St. Mary's College, just, you know, you had to draw a Dragon Ball Z character, whether it's Goku right. or the other one. It's just part, like, I don't know, it just came with the territory.
That is it, exactly. So I would watch his pieces, and they were really good. And I would say to myself, damn, I want to be that good. I want to do that. So I started practicing, and clearly I was not. I needed a lot of work to get to that point. But I continued. And lo and behold, in continuing, I saw improvements in my work. And then it was like a snowball effect. Every time I got better, I improved. And I got better again, and I improved. And I just kept on going, and I just never stopped.
Now, what sets you apart as an artist is because your work is photorealistic. I mean, using pencil or pen or whatever mediums that you use, when you look at your work, I mean, it literally looks like a picture. How are you able to capture every single little pimple, a little hole on your face? I mean, how is that? And how long did it take you to get to that level of super realistic, you know, replications of images?
Well, I've always been good at realism. And I think the secret for me, and I think it's a secret that people could carry throughout their life, is that I don't look at the big picture or the end product. I don't concentrate on it. Yes, it's there in my mind, but I don't concentrate on it. If I have a big task, like producing an art piece, I would break it down into smaller pieces, right? And then every day I'll just focus on that small piece. Because if you focus on the large piece, the entire drawing, it can be very overwhelming. Right? So I focus on that small piece and I give it my best. So it's like every day I do a little drawing and I give it my best. And you find that over time, day after day, it builds up into something magnificent. So that's how I get from my start point to the final product that you see.
When did you realize that, listen, I really do have a talent for this? Like, when was your first super realistic portrait done and people were like, oi, you're really good, doggy?
Okay, it wasn't people. It's a funny story. I did a portrait of my friend, one of my best friends, Jonathan Phillip. You would know him.
Oh yes, he was actually a guest a couple I think probably sometime last year. He was
sometime last year
with his song Sacrifice and so much more. Such a great soul, man.
Yes. So I did a portrait for him. It was for a gift to him for his birthday, and the confirmation for me was when I uploaded it to Facebook, and Facebook automatically tagged him.
Oh wow.
To tag the drawing.
Wow.
With his face.
Wow.
At that point, I was like, I've made it.
Wow. That is super cool.
That was confirmation for me. I haven't told many people. I told Jonathan that. I haven't told many people that. But that's when I felt like I have arrived.
When the algorithm can find and, you know, look at the features and actually find the person, yep, you reach for truth.
Right.
That's pretty amazing. Let's talk about the process, because to do something so super realistic, one must have a lot of patience. So let's walk through the entire process of doing a super realistic portrait.
Okay. The process begins by, first of all, I need to find the image that I'm interested in. Usually I look for images that challenge me. Like, sometimes I look for certain textures, certain materials like metal, glass, fluids, water, and stuff like that. These textures, we call it in art, help you understand and manipulate their will to your liking. So when you study them, you gain knowledge that's far beyond the artist itself. You gain knowledge about how things operate around me. So I start by getting an image, and I use Photoshop to basically adjust it to my liking in terms of contrast and what we call highlights and white balance and whatnot. And then from there, I outline it piece by piece, section by section, on my canvas, and I start drawing from there. Now, in the beginning of the drawing, you try not to focus on the details, because again, it would overwhelm you. So what you do is you break it down, you focus on the big shapes in terms of light and dark, and you fill those in first. And then afterwards, after you got these in nicely and well blended, then you focus on the fine details and you add them in. And that's what gives the drawing its final pop.
Now, is it really and truly a lot of trial and error where you do make a lot of mistakes and have to erase and then or start from scratch? What's the ugly behind such a beautiful process?
Okay, yes, there are mistakes, and yes, I do erase. But since I'm doing it on a small scale, the errors usually go unnoticed. Because it's easy to correct when you do it at such a small scale. If you do it too large, then you find yourself erasing a large portion of the drawing, which in the end can be seen by the viewer. But if you take it, if you're doing it as a small portion, let's see, 3 inches by 3 inches, per day or every 2 days, then you find the errors will be so small that by the time the viewer comes and looks at the art piece as a whole, they'll never recognize it. I would have to point it out, but usually I do.
What has been your favorite commissioned piece? That, you know, the reaction of people, it was so amazing that you were like, wow.
My favorite piece so far would be, I did a portrait of Sizzler.
Oh, yes, I remember that one.
Yes, I like it. It's difficult, because now that I'm speaking about Sizzler, I also have another one that I really like. But I'll mention both. I did one of Sizzler and I did one of Ted Staniford. Ted Staniford, my former art teacher at the St. Mary's College. Still my mentor to this day. Where art is concerned. And for Sizzler, the reason why it's one of my favorites is because of the way I captured his solidarity in the portrait. Anybody who knows Sizzler knows that he's filming his beliefs. He's one of those guys that are very strong-minded. And I believe in that image, and I feel that's why it resonated with a lot of people. I captured that hardness, that solidarity. He's holding firm, basically.
Yeah, pun intended.
Now, with Ted's portrait, the reason why I appreciated this one, the original image for that one came from another one of my best friends, Kareem Stanley. You may know him as Miraculous Art.
Very, another talented individual.
Yes, great photographer. He retouched that image to the team, and I was allowed to use it to produce that piece for Ted. And the details in it, the sharpness, was so good that it came through in the final drawing. I really took my time, piece by piece. The master telling you about these small increments.
Right.
I doubled down on those small increments for that particular piece. So anybody who views it in person would see the textures in his skin even the little fine hairs you would find on the face and then on the tip of your nose, all those things are there in your portrait.
Wow.
And I feel like that one as well, when people see it, they just, it's unbelievable. They go in closely and it's just that mirror.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. That's definitely amazing. What about, like, for example, the Sizzler particular portrait? What was the reaction like when you gave it to Sizzler? What was his whole energy? What was his reaction?
Listen, for a couple of better words, I could just say that he was humbled. He was happy to receive it. Even when he went backstage, he was marveling at it. He was showing his crew, the presence he came to know it, the details behind it and whatnot. His manager also reposted it on their page to even garner more attention to it. He said that this needs to be out there because this is such great work. He hasn't seen it work like this in terms of a portrait in the Caribbean, and he helped put it out there.
Did that give you more did that give you more exposure and more clients?
Well, yes, it did. It really did.
Great, great. Now, also, let's talk about working on that particular piece with Ted Sandiford. Of course, strange enough, I was actually one of his first students when he started teaching, which kind of makes me feel old. So big up to Ted Sandiford. What was it like working on a piece for somebody you consider to be your art mentor?
I guess it should, and it's one of the reasons why I took so much time to get it done, and I paid attention to so much detail within it. Because I believe that as much as, yes, you're talented and you have the ability to work, everybody needs a mentor or mentors to guide them.
Indeed.
People that have gone before them and set a path that they could follow. And I know I could speak for everyone who has one another tutelage of Mr. Ted Sandiford, that in terms of visual arts, in terms of creativity and arts in general, he has had a major impact on where they are today.
For
Sumerians, during my time, before my time, and after my time, can pay homage to Mr. Ted Sandiford for that.
Definitely. Even me as a graphic artist who came under, at first it was Luigi Santoma, then after that we went under Ted Sandiford. Let me tell you, he is a great influence on modernizing and transitioning your thought pattern, because, you know, Sumerians, so to say, we have a particular style under the Luigi Santoma reign, and then it kind of changed a little bit under Ted Sandiford. So big up to Ted. I know he's always locked on, and he definitely will be locked on to at this program. And of course, Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International is brought to you with the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank that you need. We continue the conversation. Kind of moving away from the art, well, still in the art, but in a different form, because you also dab in photography. It almost seems like a natural, you know, combination or marriage of talent of actually physical drawing and capturing moments.
That's right.
Do you think that you have the edge as a photographer or an artist because you could do both? I don't know if that makes sense.
I wouldn't say the edge, because every artist / photographer has a unique style or look to their work. So it's not necessarily that every artist it's not Because when you say edge, I get the feeling that it might be better than someone else. But I feel like everybody has their, anybody who delves in these passions has their own unique look that people will come to them for. So in terms of photography, the way I see the world, some people may be interested in that particular style and come to me for that. But with the art and the photography, yes, they do work really good together, especially in the field that I've chosen to work, which is photorealism, because my intention is to conceptualize my photos.
Ah, yes.
Which is why I took on photography. In a creative aspect, using my imagination, would come from the photography, and then the technical aspect, where the skill is required, would come from drawing. So I compose my photographs and my concepts, and then I draw them out as a final traditional pencil piece, and by extension, a painted piece, because painting is something that I'm looking into right now, so that I could head towards.
True. Do you prefer the black and white aspect, or, you know, a splash of color never hurts anybody?
To be honest, I can't really see. I have worked in color. I can't decide between the two. I love them both.
That's pretty amazing.
The only reason I work in black and white the majority of the time is because at present I don't have a space where I could be free of paint. And I don't have to in terms of what I need because of the expenses associated with it. Mm-hmm. And the canvas and everything, the canvases that I would need and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I'm working on it. I started with pencil because I looked around to see what I have that I can use right now.
Because
I always tell people, it's not about your resources, it's about your resourcefulness. So when I looked around and I saw that I had pencils there and I could make something out of it, I just grabbed onto it and I looked with it. Because I know that if I continue down that direction, the tools and everything else that I need will come eventually.
True. And I mean, that is typical, even in the entrepreneurial world. A lot of people like to complain and say, oh, well, if I had this, I'll be able to do that. And not realizing the key to the trick to it is actually using what is available and the resources that are available to you. Let's talk about challenges, because, I mean, with every industry, even in the art industry, you are faced with challenges. What are some of the challenges that you are faced with, and how are you able to overcome them?
Okay, so in terms of having this as a business, one of the challenges I faced was that the amount of time I would spend on a piece. At present, because I am not, well, that's okay. How can I put it? Before I received recognition on that national level, prior to that, it was difficult financially to produce pieces.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that the amount of time I would spend on a piece, let's say, sometimes 2 months.
2 months.
1.5 months. Yeah.
Wow.
Right? It was difficult to find people not being that known that would be willing to pay the amount of money that is required for a piece that takes that long, with that amount of detail. Because usually people are used to art with that. People would complete basically within a few days or weeks. And stuff like that. So there's a certain price range that works with that. But when you start going far out and going way beyond what people know, you have to, it's like you're creating a market and you have to get them accustomed to where you are at now. Right? So in terms of financial being in a business sense, it wasn't all that to where you are at now, right? So in terms of financial gain in a business sense, it wasn't all that much. But the way I've decided to overcome that challenge is, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've freed away from doing portraits, because I was doing commissioned portraits before.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am just drawing things that I just, but I've freed away from doing portraits, because I was doing commissioned portraits before.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am just drawing things that I believe will resonate with people, things that people like as a group. Like my wife, my last piece was of a guy pouring wine into a glass.
Oh, that was an amazing piece, man. Oh my goodness. That was truly an amazing piece.
Thank you very much. Now, with wine, I would say almost everybody drinks wine. So when they see a piece like that, it would resonate with them. Now, from a business standpoint, what I do is I'm doing prints. Signed prints of the drawing, which I'm selling at a much lower price. I focus on selling in numbers rather than selling to just one particular person. See, from a business standpoint, that's how I overcame the challenge.
That makes sense. But for a commission piece, what's the average cost to get a commission piece done?
Depending on the amount of time and the detail in it. Okay. For instance, if I have a commission piece that takes, let's say, 1 month to complete, that would run the customer $1,500. Easy.
Which is not bad, actually.
Yeah.
Which is that? Yeah, it's not bad when you look at the amount of time and effort. Yeah, 15. That, I think it's worth it. And what size would that normally be, though?
They're big. They're 30 by 24.
Oh yeah, that's I think you're undercharging.
I've been told that a lot of people have told me it should be $1,500.
Yeah, for something that size. Yeah.
I'm headed in that direction, but also you have to look at the market.
Yeah, definitely. Especially in COVID,
yeah. And then you evolve based on that.
Definitely. Where can you see yourself as a photographer, as an artist? We didn't even touch on he's actually a pretty good DJ. I just want to point that out. He stopped to focus on he's actually a pretty good DJ who actually should consider going back into the DJ industry.
I am going to go back into music because I like music in general, like instruments. I started off my life as a drummer.
Ah, okay.
I have a background in playing drums. That's why I'm good at DJing, because I'm good at beats and counting beats.
Yeah. So definitely, you need to go back. I'm just putting that out there. Next 5 years, where do you see yourself?
Next 5 years, one, owning my own art company, and also having a collection of pieces, at least 15, similar to what you saw in terms of the wine glass. I would have at least 15 of those in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I see that happening. And finally, because we just have about 2 minutes left in this interview, as we close off, young people, not necessarily even if it's in the art, you know, the field of art, what recommendation can you give? 2 minutes left in this interview. As we close off, young people, not necessarily even if it's in the art, you know, the field of art, what recommendation can you give or advice can you give to the young people listening right now who are trying to figure out what their passion is and, you know, what next for them? What advice can you give?
In terms of their passion, it would sound strange, but usually one of the things that indicates what your passion is about is what gets you angry. In terms of their passion, it would sound strange, but usually, one of the things that indicates what your passion is about is what gets you angry or what you cannot stand to tolerate. So, how that applied to me in the art world, I, and the field that I operate in, to tolerate. How that applied to me in the art world, I, and the field that I operate in, I like artwork that is rooted in realism. I wouldn't say that the other work gets me angry, right? But if I see a piece that is not, let's say, in perspective or isn't aesthetically appealing, I would feel some type of way about it. Not necessarily angry, but I am driven to want to correct it. That's how I knew that maybe I should be doing this. It's the same thing with music. If there are certain types of music that don't resonate with me, it's why I feel like at some point I need to get into music to put my own particular touch on things. Right? So that would be one place to start. Find out what affects you that way, what you cannot stand to tolerate. So things that move you and make you feel like you should correct it. That's usually an indicator of where you should be. And the next piece of advice would be, and I maybe mentioned of this before, is to start small.
Yeah. Starting small is very important.
Break the task down into small, manageable pieces, and just be consistent and take it one day at a time. And eventually you'll look back and you'll be like, wow, I did all that.
Definitely. Now, to close off the interview, I want people to get in contact with you. Please let them know your social handles, all these good things, because, you know, we want you to get more work.
Right. Well, thankfully, my name is Unique. Like you said at the beginning of the interview, it's A-N-E-U-R-I-N. Once again, that's A-N-E-U-R-I-N-N-I-N. You enter that on any social media platform, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you will find me.
Definitely. And Aaron Edward, thank you so much for taking this time out to speak with us, man. We really appreciate it. And, you know, we wish you all the best. And we want to see your name up there when we're talking about visual arts in St. Lucia. We want to see you up there. So good on you, and continue doing such great work.
All right. One day at a time,
indeed. And of course, Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International is brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia. All the bank you need.